Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre. And today I am joined by TJ Higgs, who has come to share her story, her experiences and her life with spirit with us. Hi, TJ.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
Thank you. We're both being very well behaved now. We've been giggling. Now we're both taking it too far the other way.
Very serious.
So, TJ, introduce yourself to everybody. Tell us a bit about your work.
Gosh. I'm TJ. People always ask me about my name as well, because that my name is actually Tracy. I was retitled by my manager a few years ago because I had to dye my hair dark. So I became TJ Higgs with dark hair and for a TV show, for Psychic Private Eyes. So it kind of stuck then, you know. It sounds really bad when you say my working name is TJ, you know, but my real name is Tracy. So so my friends and family obviously would call me that, among other things, I guess. But I am a natural medium. So I was like Lady Gaga. I was born this way. And I've worked, gosh, everywhere. Do you know, when you think about it, it's like, it's mad, isn't it? You know, and I am very grateful, obviously, but sometimes when you reflect, you don't remember what you've done. I work all over the world. I'm very, very lucky for that. Very, very lucky. I've worked with some beautiful people who are no longer in this world. Colin Fry and Derek Acora. We just had 7 years anniversary of Colin, which is mad, absolutely mad. I've written some books. I've done television. I've done all sorts of stuff.
You've done everything.
I do. And I've just started. Well, I'm a bit of a wuss. I'm not like you. I decided I was going to do a podcast about 2 years ago. And I think I've done one episode. And so I'm going to try and start it again. No. Maybe I'll learn something from you today, Hannah. You can come on mine.
I will happily help you with any of that, but I think it is just finding the time. And I looked on your website, and I said to you before we started, it's rare for me to find someone who's as busy as I am, but I think you might even be busier. There is so much going on because you're still demonstrating and teaching mentorships, huge amounts of stuff going on. So you're a natural medium, obviously I'm not. Tell me what that was like for you growing up. Was this something you were aware of as a child?
I really just thought everyone else was a bit, sorry, because the word is stupid, because I did, because I kept thinking, why would you do that when that's going on? And why would you say that? Why would you do this? You know, so as a young child questioning, you know, one of my first memories is of my pops died when I was sort of like a little 2 to 3 year old. And I remember him, you know, I remember being with him, which is very unusual, isn't it, to have memories of that. But I remember the smell of him, you know, and you'll understand that, you know, that's how we work with our senses, don't we? You know, so I remember all of that. And then I remember being told off, because after he died and he was sitting in the living room and people would sit, you know, my uncle would sit on him and I would be screaming, like, get off pops, you know, and they would be looking at me. You know, my nan, Elsie, she used to just look at me, and I think she always said I had second sight, you know, so that's how she described it, which obviously I didn't know as a kid. I didn't know. But when odd things would happen, you know, my brother Colin, not Colin Fry, my brother Colin, who's now in spirit, when I wrote my book, Living with a Gift, I was going through some, you know, examples, and we had a Jack Russell. Colin is my stepbrother. So we had a Jack Russell, and when she like glowed blue, you know, you shouldn't touch her because she'd bite. But when she was green, it was all right. So it was almost like bad mood, good mood, you know. And Colin was alive when I wrote the book. And I remember having a chat with him one day, and he's like, the dog was brown and white traced, you know, it was a Jack Russell. So it was never blue or green, but it was to me. And I was thinking, why are you doing that? Or, you know, all of these things. And I had quite a horrible experience, actually, when I was, I would have been less than about 11, so maybe 9 to 11. My stepmom took us, so there was 5 of us. We were a bit like the Brady Bunch, you know, so her 3 and us 2. And we went to this caravan in Clacton, and nothing against Clacton, by the way, anyone. But it rained the whole time. It was her and her friend had taken us all to this caravan. And I remember being in the bed And but there was somebody else in the caravan, you know, like in the bedroom. And you know the sixth sense, you know, when he looks under the bed. Well, that was my experience in Clacton. And there was a girl and a boy underneath the bed. So I couldn't sleep because no one else could see it. So then you feel like an odd bod, you know. So, yeah, I just remember those sort of things, like from being very young. And recently I did one of my friends runs at Red Cross Centre in Harlow in Essex, and she sent me a message, Trace, can you send someone to do readings at my event? I went, I'll come myself. And she was like, you're gonna come? I was like, yeah, I can do it, Michelle, don't worry, I promise you I'll be all right, you know. And she knew me when I was like nine, from 9 years old, you know, and obviously life's got in the way and we've grown up, got married, had kids. And she said, I was all right during the daytime. She said, but once it got dark, she said, you changed. She said, like, your eyes changed, your energy changed. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, how people saw you back then, you know. And yeah. And an old school teacher, Miss Ware, who was my favourite, I loved her. We had a school reunion. God, that was Harold. So that was 12 years ago. When we all turned 40, we had a school reunion. And yeah, she said that she wasn't surprised because she could see it in me. And again, she was my teacher only up until 11, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've always been weird, I guess, you know, and I've got spooky eyes, as everyone says, you know, like weird eyes that change colour. But I never really realised no one else could do it, you know, so I didn't know it was any different. And I know that you say that you're not a natural, but I think sometimes when you are as developed as you are, you know, and I know we've only just met, but I can see that in your energy, you might not have decided to use it until now. But I would say if you go back over your childhood and those young years, you're probably already making the connection, but not in a way of saying, I can do this, you know, so because it's the reflection part when you know you've been doing it all your life. You know,
absolutely. Yeah, there's so many moments where I can see spirit with me, but I was just completely unaware. And yeah, in my own fairy land, which is probably why. Another story.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now here's the interesting bit, because a natural medium is one thing, but you demonstrate on stage. I've watched you on your online videos, on your website and stuff like that. Of course, you've got an amazing stage presence. So sometimes you can have a natural medium who perhaps doesn't have the stage presence and the ability to bring everybody in the audience on the journey with you, because it's not about one-on-one. So how did you develop that?
I was literally thrown on stage.
Perfect.
I did before I worked with Colin, I did a demonstration. I sort of thought, right, I'm just gonna have a go. So I just booked this hall locally and thought, hopefully people will come. And it held 100 people and we sold out like over the weekend. And I was like, oh my God, they're really gonna come. I've got to do this. And I have a very comical guide, you know, and I know a lot of people are like, whoa, but aren't guides all supposed to be, do you know, with pling pling music and all that stuff? Well, mine isn't, you know. He was an Irish potato farmer, and he literally, when I work with him, he brings out humor as well, because the energy I have with him and the trust I have with him, you know. And I don't work like Derek. I don't talk to Paddy and then spirit. I talk directly to the spirit family members. No one else gets in the way, otherwise it's Chinese whispers for me, you know. And I think I get off, you know, my energy gets off on the energy of the audience, you know, like or the congregation, however you want to term that, you know. So their energy coming at you, you know, builds your power. And I learned very, very quickly, as soon as I worked with Colin, my audiences, you know, the audiences I demonstrate in front of were like 1500, 2000, 3,500, you know, when you've got that much energy coming at you, you just float, you know. The energy, if you can make people like you as well. And but the one thing we'll say, as I'm saying that, but I've never been fake. I've always just been myself. I go on stage, I take my shoes off. You know, I don't really like the camera on somebody that's getting a message, because I think that's really intrusive. You know, that's almost like showing off, isn't it? You know, and it's like, oh, look, I can make someone cry. You know, I'm not really into all of that. But I just literally let them take over. And I just trust them. I used to, my first ever demonstration, I stood backstage and I used to have makeup by the stage, because I would be like crying. I'm not even a medium. What am I doing here? Why am I going out there? And then it was like, as soon as I'm out there, it's a whole new world, you know. So and I'm still, I don't want to show off and say I don't get nervous, but I trust so much. So, but 5 minutes, if I'm on stage at 7:30, at least 5 minutes before, even my husband, he's not allowed to talk to me, touch me. No one's allowed anywhere near me for that 5 minutes, because I'm in my transition, you know. So I'm, mm-hmm. I'm in this world, and then I'm in our world, you know, them and us. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so I think probably nerves made me funny as well. They laugh at me, won't they? I mean, Colin used to give me a tip, but I don't know if I can tell you what that was.
Oh, now you've got to. You can't say that and not share it.
Well, if all else fails, I could show a part of my body, do you know? So it's almost like give him a flash. That's not exactly how Colin said it. Sorry, darling, but you did. But, you know, and so he used to just say that if ever there was, like, because if we travelled and we were exhausted, you know, because sometimes, I mean, one year we did about 224 demonstrations in one year. Imagine, that's exhausting. But we would literally do a demonstration, we'd travel, we'd sleep, we'd work, you know, we'd have a drink, then we go to bed, 4 o'clock in the morning, we'd sleep, we'd travel, sleep, work, you know. So but yeah, he used to just say that to me. And my thing with him was, and I do it to my students, so before we go out, because people used to ask, like, what have you just been speaking about before you go on stage? And I'm like, I can't tell you some of the conversations we've had before we go on stage, you know, because we're not sitting there, you know, floating on lotus leaves. We're living people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My prayer is, don't let me down, you buggers, or I'm not doing this again. That's what I say. Yeah. You know, that's it, you know, I'm gonna do my bit, you do yours. And and even the last demonstration I saw Colin do was at the Hayes, in Hayes, the Beck Theatre, which is my favorite theatre, and it's where I did my very first solo show with Colin as my guest, which was like really mental, like Colin Fry as my guest, mad. And but we used to say to each other, don't be shit, and that was it, you know. And I say it to my students, you know. And one of my beautiful students, John, recently did a demonstration for me at one of my events, and he said, have you got any advice for me? I went, yeah, don't be scruffy and don't be shit. And he was like, is that it? And I was like, yeah, you know what you're doing, just don't do that, you know. So and he was, you know, John was amazing. So but yeah, I don't know, that you can hear in my voice, can't you, like the magical moments we've had on tour, you know. And some very interesting things happen on tour as well. I wanted to put some of that in my book, but I wasn't allowed. So that would be a good book.
It would be one day, maybe a tell-all.
Yes.
And you're so right, because demonstrating is my favorite thing to do. Yeah. And it is because of that buzzy energy, if you can get the audience with you. Sometimes I feel like some of them need CPR, but I'm working on it. I haven't had to flash them yet, but I will now keep that in my that'll break the silence.
I think the some, you know, and it sounds awful because obviously you can hear my accent. I am from North London, so that's where I was born. So I am a Southern girl. But I honestly prefer demonstrating from the Midlands upwards. Wales is beautiful. Ireland and Scotland, stunning. But the Southerners, you know, the Southern audiences, some of them, they'll sit there with their arms and legs crossed, looking like pretzels and sort of like, prove it to me. You know, I mean, I worked in a theatre, I think it was Woking. It was somewhere like that. It was definitely a W. I'm not sure, Woking or Worthing. Maybe Worthing, actually. Sorry, Woking. I work in a church there. It's beautiful. But all night it was sort of like I'm getting the evidence and I'm sort of like I'm drawn to a space. Do you understand this? No one speaks. And then I'm like, okay, you understand this. They're pointing them. Yes, I do. I understand X, Y, Z. And I said, well, that's what I've said. You know, and all night. And finally the last person said, I understand that. And I thought, it's only taken you 2 hours to understand what I'm trying to achieve here, you know. And and I got an excellent review on Facebook because I was told that I had plants in the audience because I'd gone direct to every single person. So I said to the person, thank you so much, that's the biggest compliment you can give to a medium, that we've got plants in the audience. My evidence was spot on, I was going to the right people, and you're accusing me of being a plant. Thank you so much. I don't think they were impressed that I was happy about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so funny, isn't it? Yeah. So that's one of the things that I was going to ask you, just purely for my own interest, yeah. is how you went from, how it feels managing an audience where you're going from 100 to, yeah. what did you say, 3,000? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, so it's, you have to go direct in that scenario, do you, to be able
yeah.
to?
Yeah, I worked, we did the Playhouse Theatre in Edinburgh, which is a beautiful theatre. And they wouldn't even let me go out and look at the stage. And they were like, just do it blind, darling. Just go out, you know, Colin's just blind, darling. Just stay backstage, darling. Don't worry, darling. And I'm like, I don't even know what this theatre looks like because we come in the back door, don't we? I've never yeah. been in there before. And then it was sold out, and it's about it's the biggest theatre in the UK. So it's 3,500, whatever. There was no space in the theatre. So I'm like, oh my God, this is my biggest one. Oh my God. And then, I was kind of just thought, if I do this wrong, it's going to, you know, because I was on tour with Colin and with Tony, with the boys. And I'm thinking, if I do this wrong, I'm going to let them down, you know. So then I got myself into a right little tiz. And then, so I just spoke to Spirit and I was just like, if I'm meant to do this, it'll be good. And if I'm not meant to do this and I crash and burn tonight, I'm never doing this again. So you're cool. You help me or I'm not doing it. And that, I am like that with them. I'm very, probably annoying to them, but I don't care. If you want me to do it, help me. Do you know, I'm doing everything I can. And I've always been like that. And I literally went out, and I'll never forget, because I was describing this lady, and I only remember messages if I've written them down. Otherwise I don't, like you, they're not our information, are they? So they disappear.
So
I'd written this down, because as I went out, I got this lady, and it was her son-in-law, and in that theater there's balconies, side balconies, not just tiers, there's side balconies. And I was like, and I'm up there, and I want a man with a blue shirt. I said, this is your mother-in-law. And so I had to wait, and then this guy stepped forward. Obviously you need a screen for that audience, and this man with a pale blue shirt stepped forward. This is your mother-in-law. Yes, how she passed, etc. It was like, yes. So I thought, excellent, like that, you know. So I'm like, okay, we're on a roll. And then, and whoever you are, if you're watching this, young lady, thank you. Because then I had a mum come forward who was really, really beautiful lady. And as I've placed the message, it's on the top tier, so I've gone, I'm right up there. Can you put the camera up there? They've got the microphone there. And this voice comes back. And obviously I can't see because it's so far away. Mm-hmm. And so high. And this voice comes back. And I thought, Spirit Woman was like, it's not my daughter. That's not my daughter. So I was like, got it wrong. Do you know something? I've got it wrong. So I turned around, looked at the screen, and this lady that had taken the microphone, I was like, can you pass the microphone to along? Because this isn't your mum. Your mum's not passed. And this woman's face just dropped on the screen. And she handed it over. And then this lady said, hello. And I was like, yeah, this your mum, like that. So all the audience were a bit like, whoa. And I was like, thank God, it's all right, I'm with the right person. But they actually said afterwards, you know, they were trying to trick me to see if I could actually do it. And I thought, thanks a lot, you know. Thank you so much, ladies. Yeah, so
wow,
awful. But it's you have to do that. And you know, I, the thing is, when you do go direct, you get accused of being, you've Googled them, or you've checked them all out on Facebook, because I haven't got time for all that. And, but you've done that. So it almost makes you a little bit nervous to say, you know, this, I've got this person and I'm coming there. But mm-hmm. I think part of the way I teach my students as well is I will make a strong connection with the spirit person first. You know, I'll get the names and I'll get the information, whatever I've got to present, and then I'll present it, because I don't believe in saying I'm coming to you, because then my psychic self would kick in and I can give them a whole reading without even spirit being in the building, you know. So, and a lot of people are working and demonstrating like that and putting words into spirit's, you know, mouth, and I do not like that at all. Do you know, that to me is stale mediumship, and it's, mm-hmm. it, you know, for want of a better word, it's fake mediumship. It's not, yeah. you know, people are taking messages, for psychic messages, you know, which are still valuable, don't get me wrong, but don't say your nan or granddad are saying it, you know, because they're not even in the room, really. Necessarily, you know. So that's why I power up, I present the spirit person, then I make a connection. And obviously once you've made that connection with your, you know, with your recipient, the voice immediately gives you psychic connection, because mm-hmm. you need that psychically to spirit, psychically living. Sorry, honey, you know all this, but you know.
No, it's great for the listeners.
Well, you have to touch a little bit, don't you? But then yes. You've got to come out, because otherwise you could be lazy. I mean, and I've done it in front of not publicly, don't worry, I've never done this on stage, but with my students, I stood up and I was like, right, I've got a man, he's about 70 or 80, he's got his shirt sleeves rolled up, you know, he's got problems breathing, he might have problems with his heart, he's coughing a little bit, just complete rubbish, did not even have that man with me. So I was like, how many of you can take this man? I didn't give any names in my evidence, mm-hmm. or any kind of easy dads or whatever, and about seven of a group of 20 put their hands up. So I was like, so which one of you thinks I've got your granddad, you know? And they put in their hands up, and I said, I'm not even talking to spirit, I've just made that up. I said, and you all think that I've made that connection, and that's the place I teach from, you know. Mm-hmm. So because it's, if we can't believe it and do it honestly and truthfully, I think the people, and I do call them muggles, sorry.
me too, that's right. Yeah. Listeners have heard that. You're fine.
But they've got to, you know, we've got to present realistically and like we said before, didn't we? Like a human being, you know, not this magical, mystical creature that's on stage, you mm-hmm. know. And I think people are coming round to the idea, you know, they need us, you know, they do need us, but, and our work is changing. But don't say something, you know, if you, you know, if I read for you now and say, you know, I'm picking up, you're going to get a new blue car, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, and your nan's telling me that, you know, because that's in your psychic energy. And mm-hmm. a lot of people don't know the difference. And I've had students, you know, on my mentorship programs that are already demonstrating and they don't know the difference. And I'm like, they do now. Don't worry. They do now.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've come through my school. They've probably cried a lot or...
With me. Oh, it is a journey of tears. It's always a journey of tears. But you can see it sometimes, and certainly in smaller settings I've seen it, because what you get is the medium walking nearer and nearer to the audience, because they're trying to strengthen that and walking away from spirit and nearer and nearer and into the audience, because they're magnetized by it. And you're right, lots of people don't talk about that, don't know that. I didn't know that was a thing for the first 8 years of my development, and then I went to see a medium work and I went, hang on a minute, and my guides were talking to me and they said this, and it blew my mind because no one was saying it.
No, so I learned it very early. Actually, somebody gave me a message from my nan in a teaching environment and my nan said that I was working too much. My nan did not want me to be public with my mediumship. All I'd done was a magazine. I'd done Spirit and Destiny. And I don't talk about what I do. You know, I don't show off, because if you find it, you find it. And if you don't, you're not meant to, you know. So I wasn't showing off. But this person obviously had a little bit of a being up on it about what I'd done. And so I was in a teaching environment, and the teacher was a beautiful woman called Leah Bond. So I don't know if you've ever come across her. She is stunning. Yes. I love her. And Leah came across and I said, my nan's just said all of this, you know. And Leah straight away just said, there was no spirit communication there, my dear, and just walked straight past me. And I was like, so that woman has just told me all that. And like, I'm believing and trusting in this person because they are an advanced medium. You know, they're ahead of me, et cetera, et cetera. So, I learned that very, very quickly. And I'm always mindful of it when I work, you know.
And I think when you've got a busy energy, because you and I have quite matched with that kind of, let's do more, let's do more. Woo, what can we do now? I think it is a lot for some people. I accept that about myself. Yeah. And but always, whenever I get the slow down, rest, I just go, because a spirit always match me. They're on this crazy journey with me. They want to see what we can do next and what we can create and what fun we can have. They're not there.
My argument is, if spirit didn't want me to do it, they wouldn't let me do it, you know. They would stop you, you know. There have been times when they've said, you know, you need a break, and I'm like, you need a break, and I'm like, you know, next week. And then it's almost like, right, you're not going to be able to move, your back's going to be out, or you know,
tonsillitis every time.
Exactly. Lose your voice, cold, you know, something like that. They will literally stop us. So I trust that, you know. And for whatever reason, you know, we are busy, but maybe because we are coming from a place of honesty. You know, we do something to some people that's magical and amazing, but people need to know that they can do it themselves. They can feel spirit themselves. We are not special. We are just trying to show the world what is possible, you know, to everyone. And I can feel your soul now, Hannah. You're making me emotional as well. I can feel that. And I think that's who we are, you know. I can feel that.
That's an unexpected turn, but absolutely. And also that you can still be human.
Yeah.
You can still, I mean, I still like trashy TV. Still enjoy a bottle of wine at the weekend, you know, sometimes more, but that side of it too, because I think lots of people are held back from that connection because they think that they're going to have to change their lifestyle. And of course, do make better choices when you're connected to spirit, but you can still be very human in that.
Absolutely. I mean, that brings to mind, I work in Japan, you know, unfortunately because of COVID, but the last sort of 7 years, I was traveling to Japan, you know, 3 times a year. And I never forget, I had a beautiful lady. Some of my students range, I do have some young ones, but mainly they're sort of 45 to sort of like 75, you know, my student age. And this lovely little lady stood up and she said, I need to know some answers to this. And obviously it's all through an interpreter. And as she started asking questions, I could feel my interpreter's energy. My interpreter's like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And I'm like, hurry up, I want to know what they're saying. But you learn in the end, you learn to feel it. I don't speak Japanese, but I feel it. So I understand what they're saying. But her questions were, do I eat meat? And so, yes, I do, you know, and do I drink coffee? Well, I had a Starbucks on my desk, you know, so it's like, yeah, exactly. I'm being good today. I've got water today because I got a bit of a sore throat. I've had a coffee before that. Do I drink coffee? And what was the other thing she said? Meditation. I don't meditate. I haven't got the minute. I can't do it. I just can't do it. So I sit in my power, which is with music and songs and energize, but I don't de-energize, if you like. So all of these questions. And so I said to her, well, yes, I eat meat. I eat sugar. I drink coffee. I don't smoke, but I don't really like it, you know. So I would, if I wanted to smoke, I'd smoke. And then one of her questions was that she'd been told, and it had been written, this is how they presented, it had been written that you can't do these things and that you're not allowed to have sex. So she said, what do you think of these answers? So as I went through them all, I was like, yes, yes, yes. I said, and my now husband used to travel with me, you know, when I was over, and I said, well, ask my, you know, my boyfriend at the time. I said, well, ask my boyfriend what he would think of that, like that. And she just went, you know, blushed and went really sort of quiet and all small. And I was like, because we've got to remember, you know, and I understand about making good choices because of our energy. You know, we have to be tip top, don't we? You know, so, but the thing is, in the spirit world, there are people that drunk, that smoked, that drank coffee, you know, that weren't always, you know, would have sworn, you know, and all of these things, and obviously had sex, you know. So the people we're communicating with did all of those things. So why do we not have to, why can't we do that? To talk to them, do you know, I know if I was dead, I wouldn't be going to somebody that was living on dust and drinking water, do you know, and meditated 24 hours a day. They wouldn't be my person, and they certainly wouldn't have my vocabulary to be able to communicate for me, do you know.
And spirit like it to be fun, don't they? I find that they want to come in and play. They don't want to come in and be, here's my CV of my life, this is how I died, this is
exactly. I've got grey hair. The last thing I'm coming back as is grey-haired, because I've spent a lot of money not being grey-haired. Why is that evidence? You know, you get past a certain age, you're all grey-haired. So why am I a little old lady with grey hair? It's like boring, do you know? Surely
my grandmother always confuses people with that, because she comes in at like 45 with dark hair, looking really stylish with her lippy on, and everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
But why would you? Why would you come in?
That's not evidence, is it? You know, your grey hair is not evidence. Unless you're weirdly short or weirdly tall, I don't care how tall you are either, because that's not evidence. You know, I don't remember. I mean, it depends what shoes I'm wearing, how tall I am. You know, that's not evidence to the person I love to come back. My weird eyes, obviously, would sort of make my kids know that it was me in the room, you know, but certainly not. You know, probably coming in with a glass of gin, they're probably like, that's mum, you know, but not. Yeah, not floating on a blooming lotus leaf. You know, that's too much of that. And And I really believe, and I think, Hannah, from the way that you communicate with me, you know, spiritually as well, I can feel you. I think spirit want it to be real, you know, and they've been saying this for the last few years, haven't they? You know, so mm-hmm. I think from about when I was 48, it started to change. So that was about last four or five years before COVID anyway, definitely before COVID. So this mm-hmm. isn't a post-COVID thing. And I think they want us to look at the world and help people look at the world in different ways as well, you know. So, and it's not all about, yeah, I mean, being able to communicate with spirit is amazing, and it's healing and it can bring closure. But the people here need to remember to live, you know, and that's why, you know, when I teach, obviously, if someone's passed of a particular illness, you know, it's like my mum passed a few years ago and she had cancer, you know, so my mum lost weight. Of course she did. She had cancer. You know, cancer causes people to lose weight. But I don't need to hear that. I need to hear what, I mean, I didn't really have a very close relationship with her, but I want to know what her personality was like. You know, what did she achieve? Because by a medium taking you back to that last moment, you're already grieving that. That's replaying in your mind 24/7, that last moment, that last smell, that last breath. But we need to take our clients back away from that and back to when the person was alive and living the best life that they could be, you know, and then get on with our life, because spirit watch us all the time. You know, they don't want us sitting here crying in a corner. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be grieving, because grief is massive, you know, and if you've just lost someone, then yes, you will be crying and spirit will be all you know, alongside you for that. Mm-hmm. But then you have to start taking small steps back into your life, so they've got somewhere to come along with you, you know, because gravesides, I know they can be so healing for a certain amount of time, but you know, who wants to hang out in a graveyard, you know? So I'd rather be sitting, you know, in my son's living room, you know, with my grandchildren that aren't here yet, you know, but so he listens to this. And I'm ready. He's not married yet. Next year. But hurry up. But you know what I mean? They spirit will be with you wherever you are. So you don't need to put yourself in a position where you can't live, you know, mm-hmm. and understand immediate grief is necessary, isn't it? And it is necessary, because you've got to spend time. And it's like, you know, we're talking now, just, you know, not even a week after the Queen's died, yeah. You know, and that poor man is having to go on TV and address us and make us all feel good about the future of our country, grieving his mum, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're all grieving grandparent, mum, you know, auntie, whatever, you know, they're all grieving like that. And yet the world is putting such a demand on them, you know, so it's quite a special time, I think, in the world, isn't it, right now?
Absolutely.
To talk about grief, certainly.
Certainly. Know. And I think because it touched so many of us.
Yeah.
Because we realised what a steady presence she'd been. I wouldn't say that I'm particularly connected to the royal family. It's a life of service that I would not have wanted to live, yeah. I think, a very challenging existence. But just to have that pulled out from us, yeah. just feels like another thing at yeah. the moment. So it's fascinating.
It does, doesn't it? But I think these things, and it's the same with COVID, you know, I think that experience and this experience, 9/11 experience, mm-hmm. all these experiences that us as a nation, or that the world felt the Queen go, you know, and the world felt COVID, and the world felt 9/11, you know, and mm-hmm. other disasters and, you know, fires and things that have gone on. But I just think these are like little wake up calls, you know, they're like little shakes from spirit to say, what about your neighbours? What about the, you know, every, and all this, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and things like that? We're all souls at the end of the day. Does it matter what colour we came in, you know, for this mm-hmm. incarnation? You know, so I think they are trying to shake us awake, but we don't want to become too woke that we can't be ourselves, you know, that we can't speak in our own languages, you know, mm-hmm. so, because I think sometimes it can go a little bit too far. But I do think I hope we're reaching out a little bit more. COVID certainly helped that. Even though we weren't allowed to be together, we still reached out for each other. So I hope, you know, if we can honour her and reach out to each other, that would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, definitely. And completely agree with everything you've said. I think the more you work with spirit, the more you realize how precious life is, and it could go at any moment. I thought when I started I'd be mainly speaking to elderly people, and I'm not. It doesn't work like that. And so you think, actually, that guy I connected with was my age. That person has lost a child. You start to realize how precious it really is, and that you've got to make the most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the elderly people are the ones that train us, because it's easy. And I don't mean the mediumship is easy, but it's easy on your soul to be speaking to somebody that passed, that had a good life. You know, so when you're working as a baby medium, you know, and taking your steps, a granddad that was like 75 or 85, that's almost like, okay, well, he had a good life and he had a good innings, so that's okay. But then the more you develop and the stronger you become, you know, and I think I do talk a lot about vocabulary. The more vocabulary you have, the easier it is for spirit to communicate with you, you know. And you said earlier, like, you watch trashy TV. That gives me so much evidence. You know, I've written about that in my books, you know, sort of saying I've watched scenarios. And I have we've actually become friends, beautiful lady called Cheryl Ferguson. A lot of people know her as Hev from EastEnders. Yeah. And she was in my show. She came to a show. I didn't know she was going to be there. And that's the night we met. And but I said to her afterwards, I said, your death on EastEnders became evidence for me. And she's like, what are you talking about, Trace? What are you talking about? Yeah. And I said, well, I watched that because I don't watch a lot of EastEnders. I was a Neighbours fan and they've got rid of it. I'm very I'm still disappointed. And
my husband too.
Is he? Okay.
Well, he's gutted.
I am. It's like I had to get over that. And then I went on honeymoon. So it was all right. I had a honeymoon just after that finished. So I kind of got over it a little bit easier. But no, the passing, and I'd watched it, and I literally, if the soaps, you know, when they do their dramatic someone's going to die, I will record it, or I'll make sure I watch it, because it gives me evidence. And I was watching Hev on the TV pass, and literally I think it was about a week, 10 days, it was within a month I was on stage, and all of a sudden I saw that whole scene go through my head. And this person had been hit, and it wasn't that, you know, they didn't mean to kill them, and it was an accident, but obviously it still caused a lot of issues. It wasn't exact, you know, the word for word the scenario, but it was the ultimate way of where Ben didn't mean to kill her. And she was like, oh, I love that, Trace, you know. And she's a very good friend. She popped for our wedding in the evening, bless her. All the way from like up by Blackpool to come down to say hello. Yeah, gorgeous woman. But yeah, so that was quite interesting, telling her about her death, you know, became part of my evidence, you know. So all those sort of things, read, listen, music is massive as well. Do you know, the books that I read. And I did, when I did Psychic Private Eyes, one of my friends gave me a book called Birdsong by Sebastian Foakes. I don't know if you've ever read it. It's not something I would have picked up, you know, it was, I wouldn't have thought of that. And anyway, he gave me this book and I was reading it, and it's about World War One and the trenches. And there's a love story in there as well. There's a story about, sorry, Sebastian Foakes, if you watch this, but I can't remember all of it. just in case. You don't want an email from Sebastian. She got that wrong.
Yeah, totally wrong.
But there was something about someone going AWOL or some, you know, all of this. And and Colin and I had got this, we had a ferry trip to Boulogne because we were filming Psychic Private Eyes. And you don't know what stories you're working on. Do you know, it's just like you go in there. Unless you did the photos, you haven't got a clue. And so we've stood on this beach in Boulogne. And I remember it was like I had to do my bit before anybody could eat. So it's like, hurry up, you've got to get this quick with no information, like no pressure. Just stand on a beach and get it. And all of a sudden, this pages from Sebastian Foakes started going through my mind, and I could feel lice on my arms. You know, I could feel it. I knew I was in the World War, you know, the uniform. I could smell it. I could smell the trenches. I could see somebody running. It was weird and amazing. But it was, the book was almost like reading itself back in my head to tell me what I had to say. Because, you know, we used to have all these different PDs, and they were like, how do you even get that information? I said, well, if you let me sleep before I work, I get it in my sleep really quickly. But otherwise, they're showing me books and different situations. And so, you know, I'm sure, sorry if I've ruined it for anyone. If anyone's watched Psychic Private Eyes and I'm standing on a beach and you think, oh my God, look at her. It's literally, it was a book being read back in my head, you know.
But that is how they work.
Yes.
That is how they work. And people need to talk about that, because I think we all expect it to be some bearded guy with a scroll.
Yes.
Just, you know, pop it up.
I've never seen
one of them. Me neither. I think
that's my tick list when I pass over and it'll be like, there's the bearded man with a scroll. We've been waiting for you.
Yeah. And they'll go, access denied.
Yeah.
You meat eating wine drinkers.
I know. Yes.
There's a section for you.
Warm, I don't mind.
It's where the party's at. So thank you so much for taking the time. It's been absolutely fascinating. I think I've managed to keep my mouth closed most of the time and not just have it hanging open, mesmerized. If you have loved what TJ's got to say, you can check out all of her stuff. Just Google TJ Higgs and you come up. It's miraculous. And thank you again for just sharing all that experience and knowledge and light with us.
Oh, thank you, Hannah. Thank you.